World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, it just happened to me again. I'm not kidding. It just happened to me again. I love it when this happens. I'm sitting upstairs. Steve Deck's been here for 3-4 days. I've been for a while. Yeah, Steve hadn't been home in five weeks. Been down in North Carolina, Tennessee, wherever. Steve's just a servant man. I mean, just what he is. And he's been here for, I think it's 4 days now. And been doing some repairs around fixing stuff up, getting our bathtub unplugged, just stuff I just can't do. So he's sitting up there, Michelle's up there, and I'm up there, and I got a whole program spelled out on the show, and good stuff, man, because it's always good stuff. And man, in the last 5 minutes of sitting up there with them, boom, the Holy Spirit gave me another download. So look. I don't want that to sound spiritual, okay? I don't want it to sound like I got a pipeline to the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. Listen, the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not hear. You all of us have the ability to hear from the Lord. Now, the question that you have to ask yourself is when you hear from the Lord, do you respond? Do you act upon it? Because I want you to know in my own personal walk, when I responded to what I heard the Lord say, then it became real to me. But the Bible says, take captive every thought, right? Take captive every thought, because not every thought is from the Lord. And it is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end result is death and destruction. So I just got a download. Say, what? Yeah, I heard something. I asked him, I ruminated on it. I took captive the thought. Said, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? So bear with me as we dive into this today, because I think this is like really, really important. Really, really important. This is super important. And I don't want to turn this into a therapy session, but I'm telling you, some of you need to be set free. And so bear with me here a second, okay? Again, let me thank Steve Deck for all he's done here, man. What a awesome giving servant of God that guy is, man. I'm telling you. He got mad when I tried to buy him gas. I mean, it is what it is. But as I was coming down here, everybody was in the pre-show, because you know you can get in the pre-show if you log on. If you log on at Coach Dave Live in the morning, you can join the huddle. You can be one of the people to raise your hand and make comments. You can do that. If you're just watching on some other platform, and it's okay if you're watching on Facebook or Rumble or Patriot Party News, wherever else you might be watching it, it's all good, but you can interact with us. So if you want to interact with us, you have to go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle, and then you're in. And then you can raise a hand, ask a question, make a comment, do whatever you want to do. So when I came in here this morning, I was just stream of consciousness, okay? And just as the show was getting gone. I said, hey, Spencer, pull up this song. Get find this song. And I told him, Paul Overstreet. Well, Paul Overstreet wrote it. Paul Overstreet wrote it. And Randy said, no, that's Randy Travis. I guess it's because Randy is a Randy, right? Randy said, no, that's Randy Travis, Coach. And so I'm going somewhere with us here this morning, okay? Go ahead and play this. It's called Digging Up Bones. Hang on. A lot of you digging up bones. I want to help you get free from it. Huh? I want to help you get free. Again, the Lord just dropped it on me. And I know this is for many of you out there. So this is Randy Travis singing about digging up bones, which is what we love to do. Like an old dog. Go dig up all those bones, all those old memories of what somebody did to me. And go ahead and play Randy. I don't think he'd care if we used it today. By the way, did I tell you this story? Well, I won't say it now. I met him in the airport one day. I'll tell that later on. Go ahead.
Last night I dug your picture out from our old dresser drawer. I set it on the table and I talked to it till four. I read some old love letters right up till the break of dawn. Yeah, I've been sitting alone, digging up bones. Then I went through the jewelry and I found our wedding rings. I put mine on my finger and I gave yours a fling. Across this lonely bedroom of our recent broken home. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone. I went through the closet and I found some things in there, like that pretty negligee that I bought you to wear. And I recall how good you looked each time you had it on. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones. Assuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet I'm not, I'm sitting alone, digging up bones.
You digging up some bones? You spend a lot of time digging up bones. Things are better left alone.
I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones. I'm digging up bones.
Okay, you can stop it. Digging up bones, baby. Digging up bones. And this is really kind of, this is kind of piggybacking on what we spoke about. Was it on Monday when we talked about looking in the rearview mirror, driving down the road, looking in the rearview mirror?
Tuesday.
And, boy, I'm telling you, I just so Michelle and I and Steve, we were just having a discussion, and folks, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit dropped this on me so deep that I got to share it, man. I got to share it. One of the hardest things to do is to forgive. It is, man. The damage that people have done throughout your life, throughout my life, things that the people have done to me. If I allow myself to continue to dig up those bones, like I could tell you a guy's name right now. If somebody mentioned his name, I have something go up my spine. You don't have to, anybody know what I'm talking about there? Something's better left alone. And if I sit around and continue to dig up those bones, I hear this guy's name. You guys are with me, aren't you? You know what I'm talking about here. You know what that is? Let me get my glasses on. It's what they call a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. Now let me pause you a second. You ever done something really bad to somebody? Then you get saved. And you know that person that you did that really bad thing to probably gets up in the morning. I bet you the people that get up in the morning or see my face, and I bet you they are so, pardon my French, so pissed off of something that I did to them 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago that I maybe didn't even know that I did. Come on now, stay with me. I was a coach. I made decisions of who played and who didn't play and who got to do. I made a lot of enemies. And so there'd be a lot of guys. If you run down, if you run down that litany of guys who played football for me, it'd be a lot. I'm going to tell you something. Maybe some of them don't like me. Some of them don't like me. There'd be a lot of them that love me. There'd be a lot of them that don't like me. And I made a decision a long time ago that I wasn't going to let my life be controlled by those that didn't like me. That whatever it was, wherever I was, whatever the situation was, I made a decision that I thought was best. You ever make a decision that was wrong and you have to live with it? Do you ever do something to somebody that when you get later on in your life, you realize, oh my God, that was awful. How can they ever forgive me? And you know, they probably don't. They probably don't. And there are probably people who are watching this right now. I don't know. Maybe somebody watching this right now. I say, this guy, him talking about the Lord. Are you kidding me? That guy? Oh, what a hypocrite. Because why? Because, see, they remember, they're digging up bones. They remember what I did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago to them, to their child. I didn't play their son at quarterback. Anybody tracking with me here today, understand what's going on? And see, the reality of it is, many of you out there are, Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am. And I think I told you the other day, I think this to be true, that what Paul meant when he said, Spencer, see if you can dig that up real quickly. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I think it's in the book of Acts. This, who will deliver me from this body of death? The apostle Paul was talking about.
Romans that. Chapter 7, about at the end of the chapter, coach.
Dale is there for me. Huh? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am. Right? I'm not going to read down that. For when we were in the flesh, emotions of the sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. When you were living a fleshly life, you were living a life of death. And Paul said, look, all that stuff, I can't get away from this body of death, meaning all those wicked things that I did to people. I carry that with me every day, Paul said. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Because back in those days, one of the punishments for murder was you had to carry the body. They strapped the body to you. And you had to walk around with that dead body strapped to you. Eventually killed you. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? This thing that's hanging over him that he's carrying with him everywhere he goes. And if we would be honest, if I would be honest, I've often said this, at my funeral, there's going to be a line of people crying and a line of people spitting. Because there are a lot of people that don't like me. Because of something I did in the past. By the way, Julie says I have audio issues. You guys hearing me okay? Everybody hearing me okay? Gene, give me a thumbs up if you're hearing me.
All good.
Okay, good. Thank you. So look, the root of bitterness is digging up bones. And we were having a conversation, Steve and Michelle and I were having a conversation up. It doesn't matter what the conversation was about. And the topic came up. Well, I've forgiven him. I forgive him. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You haven't. And so you're carrying around a root of bitterness. Bear with me because I haven't done a lot of preparation on where we are right now, okay? Look, some of you are carrying around a body of death. Some of you are digging up bones, baby, digging up bones. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard for me, but I could rattle off five people who did me. Alexander the coppersmith did us great harm, the scripture says. Alexander the coppersmith did us great harm. I can name a lot of Alexander the coppersmiths in my life. I could rattle them off. But you know, if I look at it, I'm looking at those five names that I could name right now. One, two, three. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Ooh, still hurts when I think of that guy's name, right? I thank God for him because of where I am today. And I wonder if I could call him and talk to him I wonder if he's sorry. But he doesn't know how to say it. And see, I'm not responsible for whether he's sorry or not. I'm responsible for whether I forgive him or not. And people say, well, if he would just say he was sorry, if he just said he, if he just apologized. Yeah, he's probably dealing with that root of bitterness in his own heart as well. The question is, as you as a believer, how long are you going to carry around that body of death? How are you going to let that thing impact it? Look, this is kind of part two of what we did. I think it was on Monday. Pull up a root of bitterness. Got questions? What is it? What is it? Look, I just did this really, really quickly. Okay, what's a root of bitterness? I want you guys out there, ones I love and the ones I don't love. I want you to take it seriously in your own life, right now. Who is it that you still got a grudge against? Oh, I've forgiven him, but no, you haven't. I haven't really. In the King James Version, refers to a root of bitterness, which, if it springs up, will trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What exactly is this root? And how can it defile many? True to the purpose of the book of Hebrews, we can find some explanations. First, it's helpful to look at a more recent translation. The New International Version says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Hey, Michelle, think about, we know of a church split. Anybody know of a church split with a pastor, whatever, something happens in the church, and one of the people takes his ball and goes home and starts his own church. Anybody know? Somebody say amen. Somebody say, yeah, coach, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. And you have to ask yourself, the guy, whatever caused that church split, is there a root of bitterness? Do those two brothers standing in the pulpit still have anger and resentment towards their brother? How many say, yeah, coach, there's a lot of that going on. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. In the Hebrew culture, any poisonous plant was called a bitter plant. Poison destroys. As a result of ingesting a poisonous plant would be bitter indeed. The author of Hebrews uses a bitter root as a metaphor for that which would bring harm to the body. The body. Okay, I don't want to beat anybody up. I'm just going to tell you this. Some of you, us, me, some of us are carrying around a root of bitterness. We really are. So, well, I forgave him. I forgave him. Well, then why do you still have that resentment if you forgave him? What is it? And we better ask ourselves this. When we stand before the Lord, I hope he don't have a root of bitterness. I hope he ain't holding a grudge for some of the things I did to him. Some of the things I do to him every day. The ways I besmirch his name. The way I ignore him. The way I push him to the back of the bus. The way I'm rude to him, the way I'm silent when I should be speaking, when I'm supposed to be his ambassador and I don't. Well, I hope he ain't watching. So at the heart of that's forgiveness. Bring up that one. And so forgiveness. Look, friends, look, I'm not a therapist. I'm not trying to be a therapist. I just typed in the Bible verses regarding forgiveness. Now, hang on. There's a difference between forgiveness and relationship. I can forgive somebody for what they did and still not be in strong fellowship with them. I get that, okay? But we better understand what the Bible says about forgiveness. Scroll down a second. Some of you would be really good right now. Sorry, do a little bit of therapy. If you got yourself a piece of paper and a pencil and wrote down some names of some people you're still pissed at, might do you good, because I'm going to tell you something. You know who they are. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know who they are. So Ephesians says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You want to stand before the Lord and have him be holding a grudge. Wow. And whenever you stand praying, would that be any of you out there stand praying? When any of you stand praying, forgive. What? Yeah. You, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also in his heaven is going to forgive you, your trespasses. The same way I forgive, he's going to forgive me. The same way, whew, I'm in some trouble. Anybody else out there say, I'm in some trouble. If he's going to forgive me the same way I've forgiven others, whoa, baby, I'm holding some grudges. I bet he's holding, I hope he doesn't have a root of bitterness towards me. Somebody say amen so I know I'm talking to somebody.
Boom.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all. It goes on and on. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, dude, but 77 times, over and over and over. Every time that face comes up that you are so pissed at, you ought to cry out, Lord, help me forgive him. Lord, I forgive him. Lord, help me get this root of bitterness out of me towards him, Lord. I don't want that. I don't want that anymore. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Do you want the Lord to forgive you the same way you're forgiven somebody who's trespassed against you? Is that the way that you, is that the way you want it to be? Folks, look, this is so hard to do. Some of you guys out there are dealing with a guy who screwed you in business and you still haven't recovered financially. Some of you are dealing with your husband going out on you or your wife going out on you, a broken relationship. Some of you are angry at your children. Some of you are angry at your parents. Some of you are angry at your school teacher. Some are angry at your football coach. And whether you realize it or not, that stuff gets a root inside of you. And I'm about done. You ever pray for your enemies? I'm talking to me now. Because I'm going to tell you something. Spencer, you're bleeding over there. There you go. You can't pray for somebody. You can't pray for somebody that you have resentment against. And it would be a matter of how you pray for them. Oh, Lord, give them justice. Oh, no. Lord, this is so hard for me to forgive. Rodney, that's so hard, Lord. Father, I just pray that you, he didn't know you, Lord, when he did that. And I didn't know you when he did that. And Lord, help Rod find forgiveness in you, Lord Jesus. Help him find forgiveness. For you said in your word that what the devil meant for bad, you meant for good. And so, Lord, even though that messed me up, I thank God for it because I'm where I am today because of it. Let me cut that root of bitterness. I forgive him. Lord, take away this grudge. And if you prayed that every day for that person that you're so pissed at, you can't continue. They can't abide in the same heart, man. Forgiveness and resentment cannot abide in the same heart. So ask yourself this. When that person did that horrible thing to you 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever it was, and you can't let go of it, are you still the same person that you were 20 years ago? Are you still the same person? Well, why do you think they are? And maybe they would love to forgive. If he just apologized, well, maybe they would love to, and they don't really know how to do it. And see, you can't just pick up the phone and say, hey, Rod, hey, I want you to know, man, I haven't spoken to you in 25 years, but I want you to know I forgive you. And he'll say, forgive you for what? You're the one who did it. You just did this and this and this. And you understand how that gets in? That's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. Just before the Lord. Lord, give me that same grace for my brother that you have for me, towards me. Because the Bible says in the same way that you forgive, it's going to be given. It's going to be given. It's the same type of grace you're going to get as the same time that you give. Got to quit digging up bones. And I would just think, as you go about your day today and tomorrow and tonight, and just ask the Lord, Lord, show me that root. What's at the root of it, Lord? Why do I hate that guy still? Because the same way I forgive him, if I read the Bible right, same way he's going to forgive me. Matthew 6:4, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord, I just ask that your mercy would fall upon us, Lord. Because sometimes it is so hard to be merciful, Lord. And we don't want to carry around a root of bitterness. We don't want to come around anger and hate. You told us to pray for our enemies. Pray that they would come to know you, Lord. They'd come to know you in a powerful way. And Lord, I thank you for everybody who did me wrong. For that made me what I am today. I don't want to dig up no bones. That the grace of God and the forgiveness of Christ cover it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, all right, folks, I'm telling you.
Amen.
It's so real. The conversation we had, it's so real. It's so real. Just sit down later and write down some names. Oh, I hate this guy. He did this to me. Some of you are still mad about something happening in high school. Oh, I'm just telling you the truth. So, oh, yeah, it is. Business deal. Some woman that did you wrong. I mean, look, I understand the difference between forgiving them and wanting to be in relationship with them. I get it. That's not the same. But I say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that according to your word, all things work together for good. You are going to take that injury that came to me and you're making me what I am today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace is sufficient. You brought me through that. Help me forgive my brother. Julie.
Good morning. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's not about the other person. It's about you setting yourself free. Because I heard the thing one time. It's like having a glass of poison and thinking the other person's going to drink it. But actually, you're drinking it yourself.
Yeah, you're hurting yourself. You continue to drink the poison thinking you're getting it.
And the Bible says, you know, that is like cancer to the bone.
Amen. So, Julie, I know a lot of people that hate me, but not really. I don't know who they are, but I know they do. I don't care. it doesn't bother me whether they hate me. I don't hate them. I don't even know them. I hate what they do. I hate the sin. I don't hate them. So,
amen.
50 rules for life. Pull that up. It's an email I sent to you today, Spencer. This is not at all what I'd prepared to do. I found this online. I don't know how we post it in the chat. 50 golden rules for life. You ready? Never shake hands at someone without standing up. In a negotiation, never make the first offer. If they trust you a secret, keep it. If they lend you a car, return it with a full tank. Do things with passion or don't do it at all. It's funny because I was having a conversation with Steve Deck about when he started listening to Coach Dave, whatever. And he said, I couldn't stand it. He said, I couldn't stand it. Yelling, I couldn't stand it. And then he said, I got to the point where I realized that's just kind of how you communicate, right? If you don't do things with passion, don't do it at all. When you shake your hand, make it firm and look that person in the eye. Live the experience of traveling alone. Never turn down a peppermint pill. The reasons are obvious. Somebody gives you a breath mint, they're giving you a breath mint for a reason. Okay, this is good, isn't it? Never take advice if you want to grow old. I'm sorry. Take advice if you want to grow old. Come eat with a new person at the school or the office. Be the first person to go sit down with a stranger at the job or whatever. They'll never forget it. When you text someone and you're angry, finish, read it, delete it, and then rewrite it. Boy, is that a good one, huh? When you're communicating with somebody on a text, do what? Finish it, then read it, then delete it, and then start over, right? Oh my goodness, some of the text messages we send, because why? We totally misread what the person meant. That's why there's no emotion in text, is it? You don't know if it's a joke or not. You know, what? Huh? Right? At the table, don't talk about work, politics, or religion. When you're sitting at the table, enjoy the food, enjoy each other. 13, write your goals and work on them. That's Habakkuk 2. Write the vision, make it plain. One who reads it runs with it. Write down your goal. Defend your point of view, but be tolerant and respectful to others. The opposite of what the left does. See, the left is hateful towards those they disagree with. You see that, don't you? Did you know Rachel Maddow? Was it Rachel Maddow? No. Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGeneres has left America, says she's never coming back. Now, I could applaud that. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? You think there's a root of bitterness in the heart of Ellen DeGeneres? I'd say there is. I think that. Call and visit your relatives. Never regret anything. Learn from everything. In other words, say, daggone, I didn't do that right. I won't let that happen again. You can't regret what you, I mean, you do regret it, but don't, see, that's the digging up bones. I handled that wrong. Boy, I wish I could do that over again. Sorry for the therapy session, but I think we need this, folks. Honor, wow, and loyalty must be present in your personality. Pastor Salt Ministries has been around since, this is our 23rd year. And do you think we would be where we are if people didn't trust me? It's trust lost almost is never, ever regained. Almost never. Don't lend money to someone that you know won't pay you back. You're just asking for trouble if you do that. You loan them the money, you know they aren't going to pay you back. Listen, I got to throw this in, because I have people appeal to Pastor Salt Ministries to help them financially. And you know, anybody know what the first thing I do when they need help financially? Anybody want to know what's the first thing I do? Come on, what's the first thing I do?
You help them.
Well, I do, but Mark, the first thing I do is I see if they've helped anybody else. I don't know.
Pastor Salt Ministries. Okay, good.
Right? Have they helped anybody else? Oh, they gave $10? Oh, okay, then I'll help. I do that a lot, right? Let me move on. Don't lend money to people you know you aren't going to pay. If you give, there's a difference between giving and lending. And you give. And then lend. Steve Deck could tell you a story about that very, very situation. He lended some money, and the person thought it was a gift. Get that straight up front, man. Get it straight up front. 19, believe in something. 20. Tend your bed when you wake up. Make your bed when you get out of it. My wife does it for me. Thank God I don't have to do that. Where am I? Sing in the shower. Care for a plant or a garden. Keep an eye on the sky every chance you get. Boy, we had an amazing sunset last night. Wow. Hey, discover your skills and exploit them. Wow. Keep going. This is good. Is there more, Spence? Or is it just 24 of them? Now, there's more. Love your job or leave it. Ask for help when you need it. Teach someone a value, preferably a small one. Our little granddaughter, Annie, she's one little sweetheart, she is. She comes running down the hill. You guys, some of you know her. She comes running down the hill and she fell down. This is a couple years ago. She fell down. She got up, she's crying. And I just went over and I helped her up. I said, Annie, when you fall down, you get back up. Small one. Every time, I'm not making this up. Every time I see her, I say, hey, Annie, you fall down, you get back up. Right? Small ones, little ones. Appreciate and thank the one who extends your hand. Be grateful and thank people. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. All of you out there who donate to Pass the Salt Ministries, I probably ought to pick up the phone and call you every time. Hey, Dad, thanks for that $10. I want you to know I don't take it for granted. I don't take it for granted. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Be kind to your neighbors. Make somebody's day happier because it's going to make you happier too. Hey, Vinny, give me a boom. So this isn't a waste of time, Coach. This is really good. Give me a boom, Vinny.
Amen, Coach.
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Yep. Compete with yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. Do the best you can. Make you the best you can. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Treat yourself at least once a year. My wife said to me last night, again, she said, honey, we need to get away. I said, yeah, I don't know how. Right? Treat yourself. Take care of your health. Always greet somebody with a smile. Think fast, but speak slow. Wow. Don't talk with your mouth full. Polish your shoes. Cut your nails and always keep a good look. I see some, look, don't take this wrong. I see some guys with the most scraggly of beards. And I think, dude, do you think you look good? Trim your stinking beard, will ya? I'm telling you, I see it all the time. So that ain't attractive, dude. You may like it, but that ain't attractive, okay? And people look at you and think, what a bum that guy looks like. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay, you don't have to. Let's see. Amen. Oh, George. Hey, George. Don't put your opinion on issues you don't know. You know, shut up. Never mistreat anyone. Live your life as if it were the last day of your life. Never miss a wonderful opportunity to remain quiet. Michelle, help me with that one. Never miss an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Recognize someone for their effort. Recognize it. Just say it publicly, right? Man, oh man, I sure do appreciate what Mary Beth did. God bless you, Mary. Sometimes that's all it takes. Just a pat on the back. People know that you cared and that you noticed what they did. Be humble, even though not all the time. Sounds right. Sometimes you got to stand up and be right. Sorry. Oh, man. Number 44, never forget your roots. See, that goes back to forgiveness, doesn't it? Do you have any idea how many people I need to ask for forgiveness in my life? I'll never get a chance to do it. I'll never get a chance to do it. Never forget why they're angry at you. Travel when you can. Give up the step. Dance in the rain. Seek your success without giving up. Be fair. Stand up for those who need you. And learn to enjoy moments of loneliness. Because that'll make you appreciate the good thing. You know what Steve Dexter said to me? It really kind of blessed me. Steve's been at 4 days. I don't know how many days. A while. Been around. And he said, this is just relaxing for me. And you know what I thought about? Steve, I'm not talking about you. Steve spends a lot of time alone. He's a single guy, serving people, doing time alone. And you come to my place, dude, it's like a train station. My grandkids running in and out. And I'm sitting and I'm thinking, man, this is therapy for him. He's enjoying this, right? So we have to always, it's hard for us to look at it from what we need to what others need, the value of it. 50 of them, put it in the chat. I learned something from that. And by the way, this might lower your stress. Thank God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, pull that up there for me, Spence, real quick. Romans chapter 5. If we just live this one out, right? Keep going. Okay. Therefore, being justified by faith through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only that, not only that, we glory in tough times. We glory in problems. We glory in tribulations. What? Yeah, we glory in those. Why? Knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So understand that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. It doesn't say everything's good. It works together for good if you love the Lord. Can I hear people say, oh, God has a wonderful plan for your life? Let me tell you something. Sometimes that wonderful plan ain't so wonderful. It ain't so wonderful. And we don't understand that it's all about melding and molding your character and your relationship with the Lord. You really want some grace? Try to be kind to somebody you can't stand. Try it. You know what? You'll break them because they know they don't deserve it. Roger.
Oh, just so many good things. And I was just going to, you had touched on one about taking care of yourself. And one thing that I would add to that a little bit is, you know, there may be a fair amount of people on the queue who are taking care of others, husbands, kids, grain, or whatever. And I have found in my own life, and even when I counsel clients, you have the caregiver must take care of himself.
Amen, baby. Ooh.
That the caregiver that's 24/7 will not make it. And I just emphasize that a lot with some of the elder clients I work with. Now, you've got to, as the caregiver, it is okay to go do something. You know, it is okay to have a little fun, because the caregiver must take care of himself to be able to give good care to the person they are taking care of. So
Roger, make me take my wife away for a weekend. Will you make me do that?
Well, you know, I got a place for you to go.
That's what I was thinking of. Huh? There's just never any time to do it, is it? Those of you who are servants, you know what I'm talking about. I can't go away. He needs me. She needs me. They need me. I can't go away. You got two men.
But Dave, what I said kind of applies. You have to take care of yourself,
yep,
to be productive in your daily ministry.
Amen.
To
Amen.
Be supportive of those in the ministry that are helping you. You Amen. Have to take care and energize yourself. And Amen. That's even, it's biblical. Didn't Jesus get away on Sunday or whatever day? You know.
Do you have any idea how sad I would be if something happened to my wife? Do you have any idea the grief that I would have? Do you have any idea the grief that she would have if she didn't have me? So I have an obligation to her to take care of me. I have an obligation to my family to take care of me. And she has an obligation to me to take care of herself. We Amen. Have an obligation to take care of one another. Hey, go on, Mary Beth. Good word, Roger.
I'm actually very amazed at, because I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning and just a whole bunch of things. The Holy Spirit brought a bunch of things to mind, tied it all together on Myra's prayer group this morning. I mean, it's amazing that you're giving this whole thing and talking about unforgiveness and just, I mean, I'm just truly amazed. And I have to tell you, I'm truly amazed at how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. It is amazing. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boy. The people who did me wrong, they got me where I am. I ought to send them $100. Because had they not done that to me, I wouldn't be sitting here today. Huh? Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Come on in, Jeff.
It's so hard, isn't it, Coach?
Yep.
It's so hard. And here's the thing. I've experienced to where, you know, I challenged myself with this issue, forgave somebody that I thought was impossible. but then time went by, it comes up in your mind, and it's like you want to hold on to it. It's like it feels
good. Digging up bones, right? You want to dig up bones?
It feels good. Yeah. It's, and then you have to do it all over again. You got to say, man, did I really forgive him?
Misery loves company, doesn't it? Misery loves company.
So hard.
Well, Coach and Jeff, this is because I think some people's identity is their bitterness.
Amen on that one, brother.
Or their victim. Right. If that, they wouldn't have anything else. They would just be another person.
Amen. Their identity. Yep. True
Amen.
Enough.
Amen. Boy, forgiveness is that's a tough
and
thing.
And also, Dave, I think you did great with the prayer of, Lord, I pray for them that hurt me. Well, also, Lord, I pray for those that I hurt, that they could forgive me.
Amen.
Like they could. You know, whether my tongue was wrong, my words were wrong, my actions were wrong, whatever, you know, whatever. That's the thing.
Good point, Chad. Hey, Chad, how many times, folks, think about it, even on this show, how many times have I or you said something that offended somebody and you didn't even know it? You didn't even know it. And so that's why Bible says if you have an ought with a brother, you go to him. You call him. Hey, Coach, I was on the show today, and you said this. What did you mean by that, Coach? You want me to give you a chance to explain what I meant, or you just want to be mad? You just want to not listen anymore about it. Folks, look, I'm going to tell you something. There's something. You better look hard in your heart. There's something really, really hard. Something really, really, what's the word I'm looking for? If you are so wedded to a biblical theology position that you get angry when somebody questions it, you better check your heart. Because many of the things that you know are true, others don't think are true. And some of these things we will never know during our time here on earth. We will never know. That's why it says in the scripture, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. For they do engender strife. Can you find that for me real quick, Spence? I always want people to know I'm talking Bible here, all right? Look up, Spencer, foolish and unlearned questions. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. For they do engender strife. There it is. Scrolling down a bit, brother. All right, you'll get it. He'll get it. Spencer does great work. I ought to say that more often. Foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid. I hate to tell you this, Bob. Flat Earth, it's foolish and unlearned. Doesn't really matter. It does. I'm not being critical of it. I'm not being critical of it, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Hey, Spence, maybe we better check up gender. Gender. That doesn't mean transgender, does it? Gender strifes? What does it mean to gender? Gender.
Isn't it engender? E-N-gender?
No, gender. To beget, to be born. So, foolish and unlearned questions, gender, give birth to strife. Give birth to arguing about the rapture gives birth to strife. It's foolish and unlearned. Why is it unlearned? Because we don't know the day or the hour. He told us that. No man knows the day and the hour. And yet some of us are out there marking off the calendar. Here's where it's coming. And he said, dude, That's foolish and unlearned. You ain't ever going to figure it out. Stop it. I think. Because why? It gives birth to strife. We're not supposed to strive together. We're not. And so that's why we have 24,000 different denominations. Okay, I can let out a deep boat. Let me show you. Pull up number four. Pull up number four. I talked about this the other day. Here's a perfect example of gendering strife. The presidential election of 2024. Scroll down. Voting by denomination. Huh? All religious voters, it starts there at the top. This is important, folks. This is important. This is why, well, all registered voters, 51% of all registered voters voted for Trump. White evangelical Protestants voted 81% for Trump. Question, why didn't the other 17? Or why didn't all white evangelical Protestants vote for Harris? I'm not telling you who to vote for. Shouldn't we all be voting the same? Hispanic Protestants, is that 53% voted for Trump? There you go. White Catholics, will you look at that? Almost 4 in 10 Catholics voted for somebody who wants to kill babies, cut off the penises of little boys, teach it to your children. 40% of Catholics voted for that. 47% of Hispanic Catholics voted for that. Now you say, well, Coach, that's not what they're voting for. No, that's not what they're voting for, but that's the result of what they're voting for. They're voting for the Democrat for a different reason. Because it's the confusion in the church, isn't it? Other religions, 60% of other religions voted for Harris. And that's staggering, isn't it? Jews, look at that, boys and girls. Sorry. 80% of Jews voted for child mutilation, homosex marriage, big government, censoring of religion in schools. Black Protestants. Black. Is that amazing? 86% of Black Protestants voted for somebody who wants to kill babies, especially Black babies. Planned Parenthood kills Black babies. Boy, Spencer, that would be a good one to find. Hey, Spence, see if you can do that real quick. Say, what percentage of abortions are Black? Planned Parenthood abortions. I don't know if they keep those statistics. That would be fascinating to find. And then realize that the Catholic Church, Blacks are voting for somebody who wants to kill Black babies. Are you kidding me? That's called Black Genocide, by the way. There's a website. Used to be one. Is there still one, Spencer? Black Genocide? Let me see here. Black Genocide. Yeah. No? No? I don't think that website's up there anymore. But there it is. Okay. Proportion of abortions by, oh, there you go. 34% are on white babies. 37% of every baby aborted in America is a Black child, and they're 13% of the population. Abortion is Black genocide. Abortion is Black genocide.
Boom.
You see it? Don't, come on, friends. I'm all over the place today, aren't I? But you see that the problem, the one I'm always talking about, is we don't even know what Christian values are. We don't even know. Is it love your neighbor, forgive you? What are Christian values? Well, Spencer's on top of it here today. Abortion by state. Wow. United States, 30%. We're about 70% of the population. It's 30% of the abortions. 42% of the abortions are Black and 22% are Hispanic, and it's the minorities that are voting for abortion. Look at it by state. Isn't that something? 64% of all abortions in Alabama are Black. Wow. 47% in Delaware, black. District of Columbia, D.C., 57% of all abortions in D.C. are black. Georgia, hey, Clint, 69% of all abortions in Georgia are on black people. And the government funds Planned Parenthood. That's a whole different story. Joe Allen, come on in.
You brought up Planned Parenthood. A couple days ago, Biden had a closed session, a war session he gave to the head of the Planned Parenthood for humanitarian.
Yeah, award. I saw that. Yeah, I gave him a humanitarian award. Hey, Joseph, when are we going to demand that our Republican Congress stops giving money to abortions? Why are we giving money to Planned Parenthood? Could somebody explain that to me? Tax dollars to Planned Parenthood. Laura Ann, come on in. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, while we're talking here, look up how much money the government gives Planned Parenthood. To murder black babies. Go ahead, Lauren.
Well, I think we revisited this before. The whole start of the whole abortion genocide started with the destruction of the black race with Margaret. I think was it Margaret Stater?
That's right.
Yeah, she wanted to destroy them, and then it's like, well, if we educate black lawyers and we educate black doctors, then they're just killing their own. Mm-hmm. And Trump did state that they're going to defund Planned Parenthood. Because I personally think if you're going to have an abortion and you want to do that, you need to pay for that yourself. That should not be on the state's, the taxpayers.
So Laura Ann, let me ask you this. Hey, folks, are you out there with everybody out there with me? Huh? If government is funding abortions and I'm paying taxes, am I complicit?
$500 million goes to Planned Parenthood each year.
$500. There it is, up on the screen right there. That's 2015 is $390 million. Now Dale says it's $500 million. And by the way, they then harvest the organs and sell the organs. They call that cannibalizing the baby, right?
Amen.
And so then we go back to the statistics. How many Christians are voting for the Democrat Party that wants to murder babies? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Crazy, crazy. So maybe that's our next move. Let's demand they stop funding Planned Parenthood. At least we could start there, couldn't we? They won't
talk
fund
about something hard to forgive.
Schools. Go ahead, Jeff.
I say something. Talk about something hard to forgive.
Oh my goodness!
Certain people in those positions of power.
Yep. Amen. Decision amen. Amen. Root of bitterness. By the way, nobody will ever convince me otherwise. That's at the heart of the women's liberation movement is bitterness towards somebody who did something to him. You'll never ever convince me otherwise. That's what the women's rights movement is about. Unhappy women. And it's easy for us to say that and judge them. I'm not trying to judge them. It's the reality of it. You ready? Hurt people.
Boom.
Hurt people. Stop bleeding on me. That's kind of been the topic that we had here today and what we had on last Monday. Stop bleeding your injury over everybody else. Seek the forgiveness of the Lord. Forgive others. Walk in forgiveness. Be generous with forgiveness and let it be heartfelt. Forgive the way you would want to be forgiven. I remember a discussion I had with a guy sometime, and he said, it was kind of a back and forth thing. He said, you know what, coach, you did this, and I'm telling you, I sometimes couldn't sleep at night. Yeah. And you know what I said? I don't even remember that. I did what? And he told me, what? And you've been bitter about that all that time? I didn't know. You know. Wow. Have a great week. See you tomorrow.